WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz. In the trade war widening, Canada's Ontario province today adding a 25% tariff on electricity that's sent to the U.S. Uncertainty over President Trump's tariffs and counter-tariffs by the top trading partners also dragging down stocks. Matthew McGuire is former executive director of the World Bank Group and says businesses will be forced to pass on those costs to customers.
Consumers are 70% of our economy. So as more and more people worry about losing jobs, as more and more businesses are worried about increasing costs that consumers are going to have to pay for. There are a lot of people who are very worried right now about where we're headed.
Ukraine's President Zelensky meeting in Saudi Arabia with the Saudi Crown Prince ahead of high-level peace talks tomorrow with the U.S. A source close to Zelensky says he will present a partial ceasefire deal with Russia during negotiations. Another round of storms pushing through the south today. Authorities say a tornado touched down in Sanford, Florida. No one was injured. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
4WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Governor Tony Evers released a statement regarding a new multi-state lawsuit to stop the Trump administration from gutting critical federal funding at the U.S. Department of Education. According to the lawsuit filed by a multi-state coalition, the Trump administration, over the course of a few days last month, arbitrarily terminated approximately $600 million in critical grants authorized by the U.S. Congress, placing and supporting new teachers, especially in rural communities and high-need subject areas like math and special education. The Trump administration's drastic cuts to federal funding eliminated two key programs established by the U.S. Congress aimed at training new educators and enhancing teacher quality, which would ultimately help improve outcomes for children in classrooms across the country. The governor's announcement comes as Governor Evers declared 2025 the year of the kid in Wisconsin and introduced the most pro-kid budget in state history. Additionally, the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction recently released its annual Educator Preparation Program and Workforce Analysis Report, outlining the state's educator retention crisis. According to DPI's report, only 55.6% of Wisconsin's licensed educators choose to stay in their profession after 7 years of teaching, and for special education educators, less than half choose to remain in their profession. According to a 2023 report by the Wisconsin Policy Forum, the average annual teacher turnover rate from 2009 to 2023 in Wisconsin was 11.5%, reaching an alarming 15.8% in the 2022-23 school year. This includes both the highest levels of teachers moving between districts and leaving the profession altogether. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
NFL free agency frenzy. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers making moves in free agency. They've decided not to re-sign center Josh Myers. Instead, they bring in 49ers left guard Aaron Banks. The 27-year-old 6'6" Banks agreeing to a 4-year contract with Green Bay worth $77 million. It's likely Elgton Jenkins will move from left guard to center. On defense, the Packers adding another player from the Raiders. It's defensive back Nate Hobbs. A 4-year deal worth $46 million, $16 million guaranteed. The Packers losing 27-year-old defensive lineman TJ Slayton today. He'll join the Bengals on a 2-year deal worth over $15 million. NBA, the Bucks headed to Indianapolis to play the Pacers tomorrow night after losing to the Cavaliers at home 112-100.
Offensively, we're not good enough to win the game. I thought just standard defense, we did enough to win the game. We didn't do anything else enough.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight, a low in the mid-30s. For tomorrow, sunshine returns, not as warm, but still a nice day. Highs in the low 50s. And sunny and around 60 on Wednesday. Mid-60s Thursday, 70s by Friday, storms late. It's 69 degrees right now.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Joining us next time, former Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes joins us to discuss the impact on Wisconsin of DOGE cuts. Be there.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who loves to watch true crime, but only if it's shoplifting, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Nightlight. Oh, I'm so glad the weekend is over and Monday is finally here and we can do another show in front of the entire state of Wisconsin because we are broadcasting live statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay. Great to have you here on a Monday. And I don't think you need any, you don't need any pick me up today because it was so beautiful outside today. And Conrad, I'll go to you first because every night I ask you how you are, you say, well, pretty good. It was 45 today. You immediately jump to weather. I know it fuels you. How did you feel today?
Oh, I don't know if you could see, but I'm wearing shorts today.
I saw. I saw your shorts. They're a fine-looking pair of shorts. Did you come right from the golf course?
I wish I did.
Okay. That's a beautiful day. Go ahead.
I got to say, it for the stream, we're live on Twitter now. Twitter was down, like, all day. I just got it to work, so usual Twitter viewer, tune in now. We're live on there.
And things are really picking up. We have one viewer on Twitter right now, so I can tell people we're a little disgruntled about Twitter. But it is up and running, so please join us on Twitter or YouTube or Facebook or WGBW, right?
Yes, yep.
You can also stream us on the app, folks. That is really easy to use. And if you're listening on live radio, well, there's nothing wrong with that either. It's just great to have you. Monday night edition of Nightlight, a beautiful day. Hopefully you're still outside and you're listening to us on the app and taking us with you. So however you found us, it's great to have you here. Fun show tonight. I've got two in-studio guests. I always get excited when I have guests coming into the studio. We have Northeast Wisconsin-based actor Dan Davies, who's doing some great things. He's going to be here to discuss some projects he has coming up and a big event coming up at the Tarleton Theater here just down the street. It'll be great to have Dan on the show again. He's been here before. We'll catch up with Dan, and we'll have a good old time. It'll be good to have him here. And then at 7:20, we have WGBW's own Peter is not an on-air personality, but Peter Van Doren is a big time. He's a cog here at WGBW, WISS. He does great stuff. He's a very hardworking guy. He's got a lot of great accounts, and he is a huge fantasy baseball guy. So he actually said, hey, I would love to discuss this on the air if you ever want to. And I said, that's a great idea. I don't really get – I've done fantasy football periodically. And even that I kind of slack off on. And that, as I understand it, is much easier than fantasy baseball.
A lot easier.
That much, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, think about how many games there are.
Yeah.
You got to set the lineup every single day.
Every day?
And obviously fantasy football, it's just, you know, for Thursday.
I can't even keep up with that.
Yeah. Sunday and Monday. So, I mean, yeah, I play fantasy basketball.
Okay.
which I do set my lineup every day. Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it's a lot tougher for the scoring wise of baseball.
Yeah.
It's a lot tougher to determine who's going to be good that day, because they could go 0-for-4. Next day they could go 4-for-4 with 2 home runs.
Yeah. And I have friends that have done it for years, and they do it every year, and they get together and they meet for the draft. And I don't know how they keep up with it.
So I drafted a team last night.
No, what do you, what 2 days ago. You drafted a team. What
is I drafted a fantasy baseball team. I was like, yeah, why not give it a try? And I, my second pick was someone who just has to have Tommy John surgery, so he's out for the rest of the season.
So you got
to
drop him.
Yeah, I just, yeah.
Same with football. You just, okay, cut him loose. Well, Peter Van Doren will be here at in the second hour. He's going to tell us everything. I have questions. I mean, I don't think it's something I'll do, but I feel like there's enough people out there who probably are into fantasy baseball. If I had more time, I think it's something I could really get into. But as I mentioned, I tend to slack off even with fantasy football. One year I won my fantasy football league, and there were weeks I'd go into it where a guy didn't even play and I didn't replace him. Like, everyone was so mad that I won. I'm like, hey, you know, I got the goods, people. So we'll talk about fantasy baseball with Peter. That's coming up. That'll be fun. And talk about baseball in general. They're in the throes of spring training right now, right? Like, it's full force. Baseball season is just around the corner. And on a day like this, I can't think of a better thing to talk about here at Nightlight. With Pete Van Doren, he'll be here. It'll be fun. And let's see what else. God, there's a lot going on. I saw some movies over the weekend. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about Vanna White.
I want to, because when you were talking about the, when you were doing the Showbiz Beats.
Yeah.
You said you went to go see Mickey 17.
I did.
I want to dive deep.
Did you see it?
I didn't see it.
Okay.
But the commercials, I was like, what is this movie even about? Because I was so confused.
I will explain all of that after we do our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What's in your sack lunch? Yeah, sounds kind of weird, but let me set this up. I'll preface this by saying it is National Pack Your Lunch Day. Do people still pack their lunches? I know they do. Sometimes you go to work and there's stuff in the refrigerator. A lot of people eat out. But this day in particular brought back great memories for me of putting a bag lunch together. When I was a kid, I used to put salami and cheese and mustard. I think that was my favorite. Well, peanut butter and jelly was probably my all-time favorite.
Yeah.
But I used to put salami, cheese, and some mustard as I got older. And then I got a hot lunch. I went to a Catholic school in Marinette. It wasn't a very big school, Marinette Catholic Central. And they would have, you know, they were serving lunch for like 200 kids. And if they were serving, they made these pancakes. They would have pancake day. The pancakes were like an inch thick, really light. Not my cup of tea. If you didn't like what they were serving, you were screwed.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, I guess I'm having bacon. but so I did take a sack lunch. I've done it as an adult at times, and I think that would be in my sack lunch. Salami with, like, cheddar cheese and mustard. And right now, that sounds pretty damn good. That's my sack lunch. What is your sack lunch, folks? It is National Sack Lunch Day. I'm sorry. It's National Pack Your Lunch Day. So I would love to hear from you. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. These food questions have gone over gangbusters lately.
Yeah.
People love to talk about food and why. I mean, let's talk about a sack lunch. What's in yours? Let me know. What do you think, Conrad? What are you doing there?
I mean, I haven't packed a lunch in a long time.
So usually you eat out?
If I bring a lunch to the studio here, it's whatever I have leftovers in the, you know, just bringing something a little healthy. I don't try it. I don't want to eat out a lot because I did that in college, wasted a lot of money.
It's expensive. It adds up for sure.
So I'd say when I was younger, though, I was a cold lunch person. I'd always get the pack of bag lunch because I didn't like what they served usually.
Right.
So PB&J was just the go-to for me, I think.
It's so weird because I remember my friends that went to like Marinette High School, and we were at the Catholic school, as I mentioned, much smaller. And they're like, oh, no, we have burgers. We don't like the main entree. We have burgers. Like, what? Like, it sounded like it was like fine dining over at the public high school. And I wouldn't say it's that, but at least you do have options. So for me, and when I went to Catholic school in Chicago or in Marinette, when we moved up there in junior high, it was kind of the same deal. There was hot lunch. Actually, at my Catholic school in Chicago, we always brought our lunch. And we just would sit it in the coat room. Like if you had a cold sandwich, you're eating that 4 hours later and it's warm.
Yeah.
So, but that's what's in my sack lunch. Salami, cheddar cheese, white bread, and mustard. I'm going retro here. And that sounds mighty damn fine right now. Tell us yours again, Conrad.
Well, all right. So I'd say PB&J was probably my favorite sandwich.
Right.
But when I was younger, I don't know why. I thought it was the coolest thing to have a Lunchable when you walked into the lunchroom.
Oh, wow.
So I always asked my mom for Lunchables. She didn't. They're so unhealthy. And she,
yeah. How do you feel now about a Lunchable?
Oh, they're disgusting.
They're gross, aren't they?
So nasty.
I was traumatized, too, because I always had kids that, like, when I was a kid, my mom was kind of one of those. She wasn't like a total granola, but she put healthy stuff in there. I'd get a peanut butter sandwich, carrots. If I got lucky, maybe some Fritos or something. Yeah. But then there were always those kids that had like two bags of chips. Like mostly it was the side items that they were sporting and kind of showing off too. And I remember whenever I got the opportunity, I would take Doritos.
Yeah.
Taco flavor typically. And I would put them on my peanut butter sandwich.
Oh
man. And I've done that as an adult at times.
As any sandwich you add chips to it, I feel like it tastes better for some reason.
You get that crunch.
You want to hear something funny? Is one of the friends I used to sit with at lunch every day. He'd always pack a lunch every day. A weird combination he had that I totally forgot about until now. He usually had a chocolate pudding cup and he had a string cheese.
Oh, gross.
And he'd dip his string cheese.
Oh, come on. That's awful. That's horrifying.
No, we thought it was gross. But he's like, no, it's totally really gross. Good. You got to try it.
I never got pudding. My mom would never put pudding in. Once in a while, you know, she'd splurge and I'd get a ho-ho or a ding-dong, which are basically the same thing in a different presentation. But anyway, what's in your sack lunch? Let's have some fun with this one, folks. You can go back to your childhood, relive something, or even now, if you took a sack lunch now, how would you make it healthy? And you don't have to, certainly. There are no answers, folks. Only your answers. So I did see Mickey 17 this weekend. Bong Joon-ho's new movie. He is the creator of Parasite. He directed it, won an Oscar for Best Picture and Best Director. Very talented guy. And I think I told you last week, I watched at the advice of, or at the mention of the film from Chris Foran, The Host. And that was good, from 2006, about a river monster. But I got to tell you, Mickey 17, I'll elaborate a little after the break, but Robert Pattinson is so annoying in the movie. He uses this voice. It's like, so well, I'm just trying to get by here and I'm an expendable. And then, his tougher self comes out in another version of himself. It's one of those. But nice message. Really cool effects. Too long. And kind of not that great. And that was his first swing with a big budget, too, which is too bad. I'm sure he'll get another one because I really like the guy. I think he's funny in interviews. I like his stuff. Did you see Mickey 17, folks? Let us know what you thought. I don't know. We'll talk more. We got a very short break here. Then we're going to tell you what happened on Saturday Night Live between Elon Musk and Mike Myers, sort of. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the center, WRCE.
At Benson Insurance Agency, they've got you covered for life's unexpected twists. From life and car insurance to home, UTV, four-wheeler, farm, commercial auto, and property, they've got you covered. Count on them for competitive rates and professional services that prioritize your peace of mind. Your protection is their priority. Call them at 475-0216 or email bensoninsurance23@gmail.com. Benson Insurance Agency, your trusted partner in safeguarding what matters most. They're not just agents, they're your advocates.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. 5 months after peaceful voting rights marchers were viciously attacked in Selma, Alabama, the Voting Rights Act of 1965 was signed by President Lyndon Johnson. Anti-voter legislatures are now challenging the VRA's protections, even though that discrimination continues. The VRA was intended to give teeth to the 15th Amendment, prohibiting discrimination based on race, color, or previous enslavement. The VRA's Section 5 requires states with a track record of discrimination to pre-clear their election law with the U.S. Justice Department. The U.S. Supreme Court's conservative majority in Shelby County v. Holder in 2013 began an erosion of those protections by prohibiting the DOJ from enforcing those pre-clearance requirements. In the ensuing 12 years, power-hungry state legislatures unleashed a torrent of anti-voter bills designed to suppress specific groups, including Black, Hispanic, and Native American voters. A 2021 decision, Brnovich v. DNC, made it harder to argue those bills discriminated by race. In 2024, the conservative majority made it more difficult to prove racial gerrymandering under the VRA Section 2 in Alexander v. South Carolina NAACP. The latest attack, a 2025 Supreme Court case from Louisiana, argues the VRA's provision for majority-minority voting districts is itself discriminatory. More on that tomorrow. I'm Brian Beal.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Actor Dan Davies will be here at 6:35. Peter Van Doren with some fantasy baseball talk coming up in hour two. Our question tonight is, what is in your sack lunch? This is in honor of the National Pack Your Lunch Day. So you can tell us what's in your sack lunch, folks. You can tell us what you like to have for lunch. Elaborate. If you saw Mickey 17, love to hear your thoughts. I didn't think it was that great. That's kind of how we went into the break. You said you were looking forward to... Did you have friends that saw the film?
I was looking forward because I like Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, I did too, typically.
I loved him as Batman.
Mm-hmm.
But you say he doesn't get that side of him in that film, which kind of sucks.
It's really... He uses this really annoying... He's like this very passive hero with an annoying voice. And the creatures are cool. The scenery's great. I love the idea. But it goes on too long, and they don't really get into what the film really is until later. And in the meantime, you're stuck with him doing this, the planet was very cold, and I thought they were going to kill me, but they didn't. And it's just like, why is he doing that? Stop it.
When I was watching the trailer, I thought that he was like a test dummy. And he like died a bunch of times. That's what I got from the trailer.
That is the story. Like he signs up for this program where he's an expendable and they can kill him and they can reprint his body. And at the end of the movie, they think he's supposed to die from these creatures, but the creatures are friendly and then they reprint him. So there's two of them and it's called a multiple. And it's just like, got kind of convoluted, but Mark Ruffalo plays this like politician in it and he's great. But it's just not that great. I was kind of bummed out. I did watch Hell or High Water over the weekend just because I was looking for something to watch, and I saw it like when it first came out. Liked it, didn't love it, but I know a lot of other people love it, so I gave it another chance. And yeah, good film. Taylor Sheridan wrote it. I'm sure most people have seen it by now. It's not like I'm breaking news or anything, but I don't know. And then you saw The Gorge.
I did, yeah. I was like, why not? Go back to Apple TV.
Yeah.
Coughed up the $10. And, you know, I really enjoy some of the stuff they put on Apple. Like, the movies that I've seen, besides The Wolves, I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
And this movie, what you said was like, yeah, it's a great streaming film.
It's a great Netflix. I thought Netflix, but you're right, it's Apple TV.
Yeah.
So.
So I think it's better than a Netflix film, actually.
Right. I would agree.
But I don't know. I thought it dragged in like the first part. I feel like that first hour where before they go into the gorge.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I thought I was like, this is getting somewhere really cool, because at the beginning you see his predecessor who was at the gorge, and he got in the helicopter, and then they killed him.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, no. What?
To give you the premise, it's two watchtowers. Yeah. In between them is a big gorge covered with smoke and murkiness, and you get a one-year contract to go and guard the gorge, and your objective, and they're usually special forces guys, to make sure nothing escapes the gorge, which is intriguing. One guy, the guy who got there before Miles Teller's character, says it was he thought it was the gates of hell. And they explain what happens, but Miles Teller's character falls for a woman in the other watchtower who's also a sniper, special forces, played by Anna Taylor-Joy or Anna Joy Taylor. And they have this crazy, weird romance from a mile apart. And, you know, I think it's worth a watch because just because, like I said, it's a good streaming movie. Mm-hmm. If I went to the theater, I wouldn't have hated it, but I love the fact that I could watch it at home, and I love Miles Teller. So
the only problem I had with it is when they actually got into the gorge, which I knew was going to happen because he had what is that called? What?
The zip line.
Zip line, yes. He had the zip line. I knew it was going to, you know, it was going to malfunction.
You're not spoiling anything. Yeah.
Once he gets down there, she follows him down there when she sees him. And then I just feel like it drags. I feel like it's like 40 minutes of down there, just them walking around, finding clues to what happens. But I feel like it could have been like 20 minutes. It would have been fine.
I feel like every movie that's come out in the last 6 months has been a little too long. Even the really good ones. But not The Brutalist. That was too short.
Yeah, Captain America was way too long. I agree with that.
Yeah. They just always, they just fall in love with their work and they're too long. Cut 20 minutes out, you know. That's my issue with The Host, that Bong Joon-ho's movie from 2006. Half hour shorter. That thing's brilliant. But they went into all this stuff that had nothing to do with the river monster. Okay, so we'll get to we have a clip from Saturday Night. I don't know if we'll get to that before the guest, but we'll work that in at some. It was Mike Myers appearing on the show again, I think the second time in 2 weeks. He played Elon Musk as Dr. Evil. And it's very funny. And then I don't know who the guy playing Trump was, but he was good. And the guy playing Marco Rubio. And it was a parody of what happened apparently last week in the White House. It was the one thing in the news apparently I didn't read. I didn't know there was all that drama. But we'll get to that clip. It's pretty funny. Our question of the night is, what is in your sack lunch? And that's in honor of National Pack Your Lunch Day. It's about time packing lunch had a national day, folks. That's all I'll say. Paula, let's start. Well, we should start from the beginning. Oh, I went all the way back to Steady Eddie's text from last night. Monica from Mount Horeb checks in. She says, I was in office today, so I had a PB&J with jalapeno raspberry jelly. That sounds good. A mandarin orange and 4 large carrots. It's a pretty healthy lunch, Monica. I like the jalapeno raspberry jelly.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic.
Diane from Madison checks in. She's also in the 608. She says, I would pack an apple, an orange, and a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with a bag of chips and orange juice. From Miss Diane in Madison. Well, thank you, Miss Diane. The orange juice is an interesting twist for your beverage of choice at lunch. I like that.
I liked apple juice with a PB&J.
That was a big thing in school, wasn't it, when you were a kid? You have apple juice. A little more exciting than water. There's always that kid back in the 70s and 80s who was drinking water. Like, that's what you should drink. But how ahead of the times were his parents? Most kids had soda, Kool-Aid.
No soda, just water. That's all.
Just water. Thank you, Diane, for the text. And then Anna from Madison says, my sack lunch today would be a turkey sandwich on whole wheat bread with mustard, hummus, nice, and raw carrots. Ooh, I like that. Little crunch. And then Lorna Doone shortbread cookies and a bottle of water. I think I need to have lunch with Anna. That sounds dumb. Absolutely delicious. We got more texts coming in. Tell us what your favorite, what's in your sack lunch, folks? Very simple question. Let's have some fun with this. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Actor Dan Davies comes up after the news, and then Peter Van Doren talks fantasy baseball in hour two. It's Nightlight on a beautiful Monday in Wisconsin. Hope you're having a great night. It's Pete Schwabe. I'll be right back.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. New data published shows high school graduation rates in the state are at an all-time high. For the 2023-24 school year, 91.1% of Wisconsin high school students graduated on time, marking the highest rate since the four-year adjusted cohort was introduced in 2009 and 10. The data is part of the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction's annual certified data release, with the department's WISE-Public portal also being updated with certified enrollment figures for 2024-25, along with 2023-24 attendance rates and more. In 2023, the DPI partnered with Graduation Alliance using federal ESSER funding to re-engage chronically absent and academically at-risk students. The Engage Wisconsin program has seen continued success. Data release shows chronic absenteeism rates fell to 17.7% for the 2023-24 school year, while attendance rates climbed to 92.4%, marking the lowest and highest levels, respectively, since the 2020-21 school year. Iowa County suffered its third traffic fatality of 2025 Thursday. Just before noon, the Iowa County 911 Center was alerted to a single-vehicle crash on State Highway 191 just east of County Highway W in the township of Ridgeway. Daniel Schutte, 55, of rural Blanchardville, had sustained life-threatening injuries. Investigators determined that Schutte was traveling eastbound on State Highway 191 when it veered off the roadway and struck a rock embankment. Schutte was pronounced dead at the scene by Iowa County Coroner Wendell Hamlin. Speed nor alcohol appear to be a factor in the crash and death of Daniel Schutte, 55, of rural Blanchardville. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There might be a little trouble on Planet Netflix. Despite record gains last year, the streaming platform that seems to keep adding viewers and raising prices all at the same time saw its stock go down 8.5%, according to Variety, due to what most analysts are calling slower subscriber growth and a broader market reaction to President Trump's indecision on tariffs on Canada and Mexico. I know acting pretty much sounds like a cushy gig to most people outside the biz, but during an appearance on Jimmy Kimmel Live last week, actor Walton Goggins told the story of how he was bitten by a snake while filming episode 3 of season 3 of The White Lotus. The irony was that the snake was supposed to bite his co-star, Amy Lou Wood, who plays his girlfriend on the show. Macho Man Goggins owned up, though, and says he didn't exactly play it cool. Instead, he yelled, "Oh my God, I got bit by a snake," repeatedly in front of everyone. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight, a low in the mid-30s. For tomorrow, sunshine returns, not as warm, but still a nice day. Highs in the low 50s. And sunny and around 60 on Wednesday. Mid-60s Thursday, 70s by Friday, storms late. Currently at 68.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Todd Alba Show.
Trump and Vance verbally assaulted the president of Ukraine, an ally of the U.S. Trump defending the president of Russia, a known dictator. This is a complete capitulation to our sworn enemies, and it's time for Republicans, my former party that I left in 2011, to speak the hell up, because if we don't, it's not going to be long before we don't have anything left to defend.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
How are the Trump policies going to affect agriculture? We'll find out with Zachiel Torres-Small, who was the Deputy Secretary of Agriculture in the Biden administration.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, this is Jenny Slate, and you are listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Gonna be some sweet sounds coming down.
All right, our question of the night is, what's in your sack lunch? It's National Pack Your Lunch Day. Paula from the 920 says, my favorite is also the PB&J, but I also like ham and cheese with mayo. My side snack is chips. That is the all-American meal. Or certainly sack lunch. Paula, well done. Conrad, how do you feel about your mom's choice?
I mean, that's a great choice right
That'll
there.
That'll work, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, what would Jake and Elwood have in their sacks? Jake and Elwood, the Blues Brothers he's talking about, but I don't remember a sack.
We're on a mission from God.
We're on a mission from God. That's the voice of Dan Davies, who joins me in the studio now, Wisconsin actor, and not that you only act in Wisconsin, but you're a Wisconsin-based actor.
Yep.
A lot of stuff going on. I'm excited to get to you.
Yeah, really fortunate, really busy.
Absolutely. So it's good to have you here. What is in your sack lunch, Dan Davies?
That's a personal question. No. you know, I'm old school, you know, genteel poverty from Wisconsin, so it's always bologna. Cheese, ooh, white bread, mayonnaise, which actually is really good.
Yeah,
that's a great sandwich with a little onion.
An onion on a bologna and mayo sandwich.
Oh, it's really good.
That would make it a lot better, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's actually excellent.
Okay.
And then chips, you know, the same.
What kind of chips?
Whatever the, you know, low budget ones.
Whatever's
were
on sale. The generic Fritos or Doritos.
Yeah. The Moritos or
it's
whatever.
It's so funny. I remember having bologna as a kid. And not thinking anything of it. But now when I literally get nauseous when I walk past bologna in the supermarket.
Still love it.
People still love it. They fry it.
Yeah.
I just don't know what I'm eating. It's the color and the texture, I think, that really creeps me out.
And you don't really know what's in it, too.
Right.
You know, it could be chicken lips or, you know.
So it probably is. And look, I went with salami. Mm. That's not much better. If at all.
Actually, it is much better.
Is it really?
Yeah. So, because that's one of my favorite sandwiches, too. Salami, cheese, mayonnaise, and onions on white bread.
Wow.
Yeah, the old Wonder Bread.
Okay.
You know?
Old school Wonder Bread.
Yeah.
Not even a newer, whole grain, sleeker, healthier.
No. Okay. Hell no. They still make Wonder Bread, right? I
mean, sure. Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen Wonder Bread. But you go for the generic Wonder Bread.
Generic, which is Lunder Bread.
Right. Oh, that's great. So how have you been, dude?
Pete.
Probably been a few months since you've been here, but I see some of your Facebook posts. I know you're busy.
Yeah.
So you like being busy like that, going from project to project? Do you get downtime?
It's always a blessing. It's always really fortunate to be that. And I know you've had, you know, Craigers and all kinds of people, Ezekiel Drews on your show.
I don't know him well enough to call him Craigers, though. I think he would punch me in the throat if I tried that. But you guys are tighter than we are.
Yeah, it's been I just have a lot of great things coming up. And, you know, first and foremost is really that Giant Spider, the 50th anniversary screening, which we did have one in Waiwega. A number of months ago, but this is part of the 50th anniversary tour of the Giant Spider Invasion, which is cult classic, directed by Bill Rubain, filmed in northern Wisconsin with Alan Hale and Barbara Hale and all kinds of actors.
And no relation.
No relation. That was really weird. Skipper was, you know, Skipper and Barbara Hale was from Perry Mason.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's actually a really good film, and it's the 50th anniversary. So Bill Rubain will be there. He's 88 years young. And he's going to be there and, you know, signing autographs and all kinds of. I'm hosting it, and we're having the Rise of Deermageddon.
Right.
The proof of concept that we put together for a feature film that we'd like to start filming this summer, hopefully, summer, fall. And that's going to start the evening off, and then my shtick, and then we'll introduce Bill Rubain, and it's at the Tarleton, part of the Green Bay Film Festival. This Friday at 7 o'clock. Tickets are still available, and they're dirt cheap. They're only like $10.
That's the best. You know, film festivals are great. I love almost any film festival I've been to. I just like the experience. I like the celebration of movies. But this festival, $10 a pop, because they can get expensive. Some festivals are expensive, and I still feel like it's worth the money, but $10, you almost can't afford not to go. Well, even if you hate movies, you have to go.
And at the Tarleton, too, which is really a cool venue.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, been around. It's been a cinema since, I think, what, 1925 or something like that. And it's one of the oldest north of Milwaukee. It's beautiful. I love it. So it's going to be a great venue, a great time. And Bill Rabane is just an amazing guy. You've had him
He's been on the show before. Yeah.
Yeah. He's 88.
Yep. I want to tell you something about Bill Rabane. When I was putting my questions together, I can't type anymore, Dan. I hate typing. So I use voice a lot. And when I said Bill Rabane's name, it came up as Billy Rubin.
That's his Jewish half-brother. I'm Billy Rubin. I'm not from the north of
correct.
Wisconsin.
And if Bill shows up looking jaundiced or yellow, you'll know it's because he lacks Billy Rubin. But I hope that doesn't happen. No, he's been on the show. He's great. He's very sharp. Yeah. Let me ask you this about Bill. You know, as sharp as he still seemed, I know he has some physical issues. Yeah. He probably, for those reasons alone, could not direct. Yeah. But does he still write?
Yeah, he still writes. He could direct, though, but it would be shorter days. It wouldn't be the long 8 to 12 hour days. He'd be able to direct. He's still sharp as a tack. He's still writing things, still crafting and creating things. He'll say, Dan, I've got a part for you in this, this, and this. And he's been in the business for over 60 years.
How about that? Jeez.
And he knows so many of the old school guys from Hollywood and worked with them since about the late 1950s. And yeah, he still has projects and you know, his darling though is Giant Spider Invasion. That was a top 25 box office when it came out in 1975.
Right.
Which is just crazy. That's when Jaws came out and all these, you know, great films. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, Giant Spider is right up there with him.
Yeah.
So that's cool. That's gonna be fun this Friday.
And it sounds like Bill kind of got screwed on some of the money issues.
Yeah,
he did. Creative Hollywood accounting.
Yeah,
which
happened a lot during that time. So.
I think it still happens.
And I think it does, too. Yeah, Sean Connery was the one to kind of put some of that shenanigans to rest, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, back about 25, 30 years ago. He wanted to go through their books, you know.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah, just say, let me see. Because he was promised like 4 percentage points, net percentage points, and there's never net. But he says, well, there's got to be. You know, so he was calling him up saying, I'll come visit you and we'll go through the books together. And they're like, oh, you don't have to do that because he's a bad.
Oh, we forgot to carry one. We'll cut a check. Yeah. It's funny you say that because I have a lot of my friends are writers and Steve Rudnick, Leo Benvenuti have been on this show. And I've never asked them directly in person, but I've heard that when they wrote the Santa Claus, the studio, they always offer net points. And I remember when we sold a guy thing, it was like, well, you'll get 5% of the net. And everyone's like, you're never going to see that.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. Well, in the case of the Santa Claus, here's how it happened. Here's what has to happen for you to get net points in Hollywood. The actor, Tim Allen, was his first feature film. So they didn't overpay him. The film did so well. Mm-hmm. They didn't promise any of the gross to anybody. So even with Creative Hollywood accounting, they couldn't hide the profits.
Yeah.
And they had to pay. But that's what it takes. That's so wrong. Anyway, Bill, I understand, felt kind of victim to that.
He did, really. And but, you know, there are other things in the works. You know, you might be doing Giant Spider 2.
No way.
Yeah. Great. And he's got these other great projects. And it's an honor when he asked me to be a part of them.
Sure.
And to have a role in them. I'm just like, Bill, you know, I've been a fan of his. I saw Giant Spider Invasion when I was 9 years old.
You said when it first came out?
Yeah, it was at the Rosa in Wapaka, Wisconsin. Huh. And I went with one of my uncles. I think he was drunk. And he's like, Danny, we're going to go see a giant spider permasion. I'm like, what the hell?
He didn't know he was talking about a movie.
No. My uncle
wept
Wayne,
openly.
Actually, yeah, he came off the Menominee Rez and then took me to a film. And then we went into a bar. Right afterwards, which
at
was
10.
Fun. Yeah, 10. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
would you have an old fashioned?
No, the Shirley Temples.
Okay.
Yeah, those, you know, but he was at least kind of cool that way. He wouldn't feed me drinks or anything until I was probably 12. So bless his heart.
That would be the perfect opportunity for you to slide your Shirley Temple glass back across the bar and say, don't be afraid to put a little booze in it.
Yeah, don't be afraid.
I can't develop an alcohol issue if I don't have any booze.
I'm 10 going on 21. Bring it on. No.
So, what can people expect, Dan? Like, you're going to host the occasion for the 50th anniversary at the Tarleton. If people decide to go, let's say they've never seen the film, What can they expect in terms of the movie and then what happens afterwards?
Sure. So, yeah, we'll start the evening off. I think it's either Kreger's or Nick or Vance is going to give me an intro. I'll come on, do my shtick. We'll do The Rise of Dermageddon, that proof of concept that we shot, which is really, it's winning film festivals and all kinds of things. It's about 15 minutes. I'll come back on again and do a little shtick and then do a little intro to the giant spider invasion. I'll intro Bill Rabane and then the film. And then we'll have a Q&A after.
That's so great. What's the reaction? Like, you showed this at Waiwega.
Yeah.
When people see Giant Spider, I'm sure film enthusiasts love it.
Yeah.
Have you seen people that didn't know what to expect that went in? What's their reaction?
So we got a standing ovation in Waiwega at the Gerald Opera House, which was really, really cool. And, you know, Bill was, his daughter showed up kind of unannounced, surprise, and there were friends he hadn't seen for years. And it was a wonderful event. So we're hoping the same thing this Friday. And in part of being part of the Green Bay Film Festival and being part of the Tarleton is always nice.
Yeah, for
you know,
sure.
When you do these events.
You say proof of concept. For people that might not understand that, I don't fully understand it. That's when you shoot a part of the film to show to investors.
Yep.
Tell us about that a little
bit.
So
we shot 15 minutes worth of a film that we're going to start hopefully shooting this summer, fall. It is we call it the Citizen Kane of zombie, apocalyptic zombie deer musicals.
Oh, it's about time somebody made one, right?
and it's a comedy and it's a musical and it has a really good message. And we shot the 15 minutes and we sent it to a bunch of film festivals. It ended up winning a lot of them, which surprised us.
Nice.
And now we're going to put the prospectus and pitch packet together to raise money for it. And you show them the 15 minutes to say, this is what we did on a shoestring budget. Imagine what we can do with, you know, $200,000.
With your money.
Yeah, we're going to take your money and run.
So you get the proof of concept. Have you raised, I assume you've raised money for projects because you've done a lot of independent films, a lot of films. What is that process like? I'm sure people listening are like, my guest, by the way, is Dan Davies. He's a local actor and filmmaker. Check him out at the Tarleton this Friday night, right?
Yep, this Friday
for the
night.
50th anniversary of Giant Spider Invasion. Dan does great work as a host as well as an actor. So, I got totally sidetracked. What's it like going and raising money? I've done it myself too. Yeah. I hate it.
It's terrible. Yeah.
What's it been like for you?
It's basically, you know, you have to do the, you know, horse and pony show, but you have to have a real prospectus. You have to show the ROI, return on investment potential. You have to go through all of that. And you do, we could do Kickstarter, GoFundMe. There's all different angles to go at it to raise the money.
Yeah.
But if you could get a few angel investors, and they literally are angels, because to be honest with you, it's not, you know, it's any investment nowadays is risky, but film is especially risky.
Yeah.
But you try to mollify that by saying we've got already a distributor interested. We got three distributors actually interested in the project before it's even made. So you have to kind of say we've got a distributor. This is who stars in it. This is boom, boom, boom. This is your return on investment. And then you just try to raise from then.
So you say that, but I feel like, you know, at least when I would approach people, I would say, look, investing money is risky to begin with. But for one guy in particular, I'm like, you could invest in another parking lot.
Yeah.
Probably have a safer investment, obviously. Yeah. Or you can invest in something really cool.
Yeah.
And have your name on it.
You bet.
And I mean, does that resonate with people? Are they interested in being part of it that way?
When you pitch it as invest in your local economy, local filmmakers, and it's a creative endeavor. You can be part of this creative endeavor.
Very cool. All right, we're going to get into that. I want to ask you about The Rise of Dermageddon, the proof of concept. And you have another film, Ed Gein the Musical. Oh, that's a stage play.
Yeah, no, it's a stage play.
All right, we'll talk about that. It's the next Hamilton, maybe. Right? You never know.
Sweeney Todd.
Sweeney Todd, there you go. All right, Dan Davies, local actor, Northeast Wisconsin-based actor, but he acts all over the place. He's acting up tonight in the studio, and that's why it's great to have him here. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk, drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. 5 months after peaceful voting rights marchers were viciously attacked in Selma, Alabama, the Voting Rights Act of 1965 was signed by President Lyndon Johnson. Anti-voter legislatures are now challenging the VRA's protections, even though that discrimination continues. The VRA was intended to give teeth to the 15th Amendment, prohibiting discrimination based on race, color, or previous enslavement. The VRA's Section 5 requires states with a track record of discrimination to pre-clear their election law with the U.S. Justice Department. The U.S. Supreme Court's conservative majority in Shelby County v. Holder in 2013 began an erosion of those protections by prohibiting the DOJ from enforcing those pre-clearance requirements. In the ensuing 12 years, power-hungry state legislatures unleashed a torrent of anti-voter bills designed to suppress specific groups, including Black, Hispanic, and Native American voters. A 2021 decision, Brnovich v. DNC, made it harder to argue those bills discriminated by race. In 2024, the conservative majority made it more difficult to prove racial gerrymandering under the VRA Section 2 in Alexander v. South Carolina NAACP. The latest attack, a 2025 Supreme Court case from Louisiana, argues the VRA's provision for majority-minority voting districts is itself discriminatory. More on that tomorrow. I'm Brian Beal.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
We are back from the 814. Jameson, he's in Pennsylvania, says, did you mean what's your six-pack lunch? Just kidding. If anything, that's an iced tea, an energy bar, and then hope to get in a smoke before the break is over. Hashtag working life. I would imagine if Jameson had to give up something out of that, it would not be the smoke. Just guessing. Daniel from Menasha says his sack lunch would be, this is not a sack lunch. Okay, Daniel is commenting on Mickey 17. He says, I imagine Michael Keaton's 1996 movie Multiplicity when I heard about Mickey 17. You know what, Daniel? I didn't love Multiplicity. It was a great idea, but I don't even think Mickey 17 is as good as that. That's my personal, someone said a Trump sandwich. Old white bread full of bologna, Russian dressing, and a small pickle.
Small pickle. That's
funny. Oh, I don't usually talk about politics. It was tough not to read that. I know nothing about the pickle. Okay. So Dan Davies is here, ladies and gentlemen. He is do you live in Appleton?
I live in Appleton.
Okay. Yep. Appleton-based actor. Are there other actors in Appleton that are as kind of busy as you? Do you have circles that you can hang with there?
Well, you know that Willem Dafoe is from Appleton, and you know Harry Houdini and Edna Ferber, and so Appleton has had a lot of celebrities. But yeah, I love Wisconsin. I'm a massive Packer fan. I love living here. And to be honest with you, you know, I've done Nollywood films, so that I've done films in Nigeria, Ghana, Serbia, Qatar, Ireland, Jamaica, Bahamas, all over the United States and Canada. But Appleton is my home.
Yeah.
I don't like our winters anymore, but I love living here. I love living in Northeast Wisconsin. The people are amazing. It's inexpensive living and, you know, low crime and lots of beer.
Isn't that funny? You're saying it's inexpensive. Even Appleton, by standards, other places, is still very affordable. Where I live, it's really affordable. You want to buy a house in Marinette, Dan? They'll send you a cab fare. You can go up there and check it out. So that's cool. So, and why not? Like with acting, you can live as long as you have connections and you have people looking for work for you.
Yep.
it makes sense.
And a lot of times I'm doing auditions, if I'm asked to do an audition, sometimes somebody will see something on Netflix or Hulu and they'll go, oh, Dan, you're going to be good for this role. We'll just attach you. But if I do an audition, I have literally a studio in my house.
Oh,
so
nice. That's, yeah.
I'm able to do it. So that I literally did one and there were 3,500 other gentlemen up for the role. This wow. film that was going to be shot in New York, and it was had musical elements to it, and I didn't get it, but it was narrowed down, which is always kind of cool. But 3,500 other guys.
Whew.
Yeah.
That's a casting director's assistant who probably hates his life hacking through all that tape.
Oh, yeah.
You said, all right, let's stick with this. You mentioned musical.
Mm-hmm.
Dearmageddon the musical is a stage play.
Well, Dearmageddon the musical is... The
I'm sorry, Ed Gein. You have two musicals, and that's kind of where I was going with this anyway.
Yep.
What is your musical background?
So I'm from Opaca High School. We had a great choral director. He was there for about 40 years. His name is Gerald Kniffel. He really got me interested in acting and musicals.
Okay.
And he said, Dan, you could do this for the rest of your life if you put your head to it. And I did, and I created Ed Gein the Musical in 2010. And that got nationwide on PBS as well as Retro TV Network, had 500 theatrical screenings all over the U.S. And then that got resurrected. SRS Cinema bought it. We did another 13th anniversary tour last summer. And now it's being made into a theatrical stage play, so which I'm really super excited for. So I adapted my screenplay into a stage play and got really great actors. We got Ezekiel Drews, the actor from Milwaukee, stage actor and film actor, to play Ed Gein. I'm playing the sheriff in it. Our director is Deborah Lee from the Oshkosh area. We have a great cast and crew, great people that are working their butts off for our world premiere, which is April 4, April 4 through the 6th in Oshkosh at the Time Community Theater. Which is really cool because it's a 501c3, so all the rental fees, all the concessions, and a bit of the tickets go back to this 501c3, which helps this theater, cinema in the middle of downtown Oshkosh. So we're super excited for it, and we're getting a lot of amazing press, like crazy press too, with it.
So when you you wrote the thing, you're not the main actor, but. Did you have to go out and raise money for this, or is this like a company approaches you and says we'd like to do this?
When the film, I myself and my business partner, we self-funded that.
Okay.
The theatrical play I'm funding as well. But we have to. I'd like it to get to a point where have it so it's off Broadway. I've got interest in Minneapolis, got interest in Chicago, interest in Boston to actually have the theatrical play there. So it's really a unique play. It's a musical about a necrophiliac cannibalistic serial killer.
All I can think about is Singing and Dancing when you put it that way. That's how do you not want to see this, folks? The 4th through the 6th in Oshkosh. Where can people find out more information about that? If they want to go?
They could go to the Time Community Theater, their website in Oshkosh, or you could go to edgeinthemusical-play.com. That's edgeinthemusical-play.com. Go on to that website, and it'll show you what about tickets and the background of the play itself and all kinds of fun things.
Very nice. We have a text for you. We'll read that. Can you stick around through the news?
I would love that.
All right, we'll do that, and we'll read some more of your texts. What is in your sack lunch, folks? That's our question tonight. Annie from Watertown says, my father, born 1927, spoke with ethereal love for the goose grease sandwiches warmed by the schoolhouse wood stove. He died from heart disease 73 years ago, but next generation worse. I feel kind of bad for Annie. I started laughing, and now it's like we're going to decipher that text. Annie, I'm sorry. We're coming right back with Dan Davies, Peter Van Doren, and Fantasy Baseball Talk coming up in hour number two. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. So you're tired, just wanna close your eyes, follow your dream down.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Dom Salvia.
Next time, if the federal government can disappear a legal U.S. permanent resident without reason or warrant, can they then disappear U.S. citizens too? Plus, a preview of the Wisconsin Supreme Court debate. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Ready for the April election? Here's a special invitation for you. Join the free Protecting Justice for All conversation about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race Wednesday, March 12th from 5 till 7 p.m. at the Overture Center in Madison.
Up North News Radio host Pat Kreitlow, Civic Media's Todd Alba, and Dan Schaefer will lead a guest discussion about the economy, education, environment, and more. Then stay for the candidates' debate watch party.
Attend in person or listen to live coverage from the Overture Center in Madison Wednesday night, March 12th from 5 till 7 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Analysts say worries about a trade war and possible recession sent Wall Street into another nosedive. The S&P 500 dropped 2.7%. The Dow dropped 890 points. The Nasdaq lost 4%. Canada and Mexico slapping tariffs on some U.S. goods in retaliation to expected U.S. tariffs this week. ABC News Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce.
Wednesday, Trump's tariffs on steel and aluminum coming into the country are set to go into effect, which could mean that by Memorial Day, Americans will be paying more for everything from washing machines and toasters to canned goods and cars.
White House statement says business leaders have responded to President Trump's agenda with trillions in investment commitments that will create thousands of jobs. A source close to President Zelensky says Ukraine will propose test ceasefires with Russia on long-range strikes from the air and sea when it meets with U.S. officials in Saudi Arabia Tuesday. This is ABC News.